We're at lecture number 12. It's been a good ride. I hope you've learned something. I hope you've been challenged, and I hope beyond hope that you feel empowered, equipped, called, and that you're starting to get over this insecurity that you can't do it. You can. Don't disqualify yourself because you're not smart enough. Don't disqualify yourself because, you don't know enough. Don't disqualify yourself because you had a bad experience one, or no one believes in you. It doesn't matter. If you're called, you're called. All right, so in this last session, I want to talk about some concluding thoughts and issues that you're going to face, especially in the modern world that we find ourselves. So the first area is sexuality. Okay, so when you got a group of men together, you have like half the genders together. God made them male and female, so you have men. And so sexuality is an issue with men. You may have married men, divorced men that are now single, single men that will one day marry, single men that will never marry, single men that are living with a woman, homosexual men that do not act on their homosexual tendencies, homosexual men that do, and trans men, just to name a few. And these are all issues in our modern world. So what do you do? Then there's pornography, all right? The global pornography industry is worth around $97 billion. Approximately 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. 77% of 18 to 24-year-olds report consuming internet pornography, according to research. 68% of church-going men and over 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis. Do you think this is a problem? Okay, so this is an issue they have to deal with in men's ministry. And, I think education is needed. I think opportunity for confession. I think accountability plans, accountability partners, because men will fall into this. You got people that, for work, spend a lot of time away from home. Men have urges, and Satan knows this. And he puts these traps in front of us, and we fall into them. And we need a place to be safe. We need a place where we can admit things, where we can be held accountable, where we can try, where we can fail, where we can be lifted, where we can be prayed for. It's going to take patience. It's going to take time. Some get healed right away from it. Some, keep falling back and forth. There's discouragement. There's anger. There's frustration. There's guilt. It's all in there, but we have to deal with it, okay? And we have to trust that the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, can deal with these things, okay? Let's not run away from, let's not pretend like these things don't exist. Okay, sexuality. Example of married men and single men. So you may have, this is, the simplest one, I guess. But it's complicated. So you're studying something. Maybe you're studying the family and you got single men. What are you going to do? You have to be aware that you have married men and single men in the same group. And you have to accommodate that. Hey, right now we're talking about marriage and I know some of you are single. But maybe you single men have insights into this that married men don't have. Or maybe you're thinking about, you're dating and this relates. Or maybe you're thinking about in the future how this might relate to you or what you're thinking right now. Or you might be just in the listener mode and, seeing what this all is. Okay? So, but you have to say something. You have to be aware of it. You have to let everyone in the group know that we are all aware that we aren't all exactly in the same position. Another example, married men and single men living with someone. Okay, so you're going to have that, right? I mean, that's in our culture. This is the norm. I mean, every movie that you watch, living with someone that you're not married with is just socially accepted. And if your church is an outreach church, you're going to have men who are doing this. So you need to be aware that this is happening. And then you accept the person, you love the person, not necessarily the behavior. But you accept the person. You don't say, you know, when you know, until you get this figured out and change your ways, you're not welcome here. No, you are welcome here. We're all people in progress, and you're in progress too. And then education is what's needed, and patience. Okay, you know, when a person, you know, becomes a believer and they, you know, they turn their life around, it's little by little. The last thing to get converted sometimes is the wallet, is the money. You know, we hold on to that. Or we hold on to things, and little by little, the victory is won. So we have to be patient with that. But here's part of the process, 1 Corinthians 7. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Okay, so how does this relate to your situation? Or 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with the body? For it is said, the two become one flesh, quoting from Genesis. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So I had a couple that was living with one another. They wanted to get married, so they wanted to meet with me. So I sat down and I had them read this verse. I just said, will you read this verse? They read it. And then I said, so what do you think this says? What do you think this is saying? And the woman, but the guy got it entirely. He said, well, this verse suggests that we're already married. I said, yeah, that's what it seems to say. So now what do we do? Okay, you're already married. What we're talking about is the ceremony. And so we figured out a plan of what to do. Okay? So it took some education. I didn't hit them over the head with it. I let them for themselves. And some people, sometimes it takes a little longer to figure out. Okay, now we're next to the next problem. We've got married men and homosexuality. Number one, we need to be aware that these things are happening. And we have to be the person, not necessarily the behavior. And then we have to have patience once again. Here's what the Bible says about some of these things. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So in some ways, you know, the marriage union, the man and the woman together reflect the image of God. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said for the man to be alone, I will make a helper suitable for him. And that's when Eve was created. That seems to be kind of the creational order of things. Genesis 2:20-25. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. But while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and then he closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and his mother, and he's united to his wife. And they flesh, literally. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Okay, so the oneness of the triune God, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, let us make man in our image. God is a plurality, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. It's a mystery. How do you explain that? I don't know. But Genesis 2 suggests that mystery is reflected in the man and the woman coming together in the sexual union. They mysteriously become one. One. Just like God is mysteriously one. Now, human beings are mysteriously one, okay? So that seems to be the created order of things. But sin comes into the world, makes a mess of things. Now I say, Paul says to the unmarried, so now to the unmarried and the widows, I say it is it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to burn with than to do with passion. It would seem, okay, it would seem that these and other passages that God's designed for sex is for a man and a woman. Everything outside of that would be the result of sin, individual sin, and the general brokenness we see in the world apart from human beings committing the brokenness. For example, the thorns and thistles. What am I saying? I think in Genesis 3, sin comes into the world and it causes all kinds of brokenness. And a lot of the brokenness is brokenness that we cause. We are responsible. We're the ones who did it. But some of the brokenness, for example, the thorns and the thistles, Adam and Eve didn't go out and make those thorns and thistles. They were the result of brokenness coming into the world. The labor pains that a woman has at childbirth is talked about in Genesis 3 as a result of sin coming into the world, but Eve didn't cause those things. Okay, there are the things that we personally cause, and there are the world, they're broken because sin is in the world. The earthquake happens. I didn't cause the earthquake, but the earthquake is breaking things in our world and causing destruction because there's sin in the world. Okay, this is an important distinction. So, here's the question. Is an individual's homosexual desire the result of an individual sin? Or the brokenness that a person was born with? If the because of individual sin, then the person should admit it and repent of it, right? I mean, we should repent of our personal sins. But if the desire is because of a brokenness that the person was born with, the person does not need to repent. A person born without one arm doesn't repent that they only have one arm, even though that lack of an arm is because of sin in the world. So, homosexual desires is not a sin, but then the question is acting on it a sin? And see, that's where the dilemma is. See, that's where the discussion should be had. And, I lean towards, well, even though there's brokenness in the world, we fight against the brokenness. We don't accommodate the brokenness. So, but others have other opinions, but I'm saying these are the things that we have to wrestle with in a men's ministry, and you're going to have to wrestle with these things. You don't have to have all the answers, but you have to be clearly wrestling with what does the Word of God say? We don't just do things because this is how we feel. Well, this is my desire. This is what I want to do. Well, there's a lot of things we want to do that are wrong. And so we must constantly be servants of the Word of God, servants of the churches that we belong to. We're not in charge of declaring, this is my view on the social situation that we have around us, and this is what makes sense to me. Well, you're not God. You have to find your truth in the truth. And I'm not saying it's always clear, but this is what we have to wrestle with. So then within a men's group, you're going to have men who need more than a men's group can provide. The brokenness, addiction, depression, anxiety, and any number of serious issues that some men are dealing with can totally consume a men's ministry. They come to each meeting, and the meeting becomes all about this person and their brokenness and their pain. And men want to help, and they want to do things, but eventually the men just wear out. And the group can't manage it, and the men need men need help beyond the group. So if you're going to start a men's group, you really need to be aware of other resources that you can send men to if they're struggling in an arena that you just can't, figure out together. All right, so we've been with one another for 4 sessions. I mean, there's a bunch of other issues. We don't have time to get into everything. This is sort of an introduction to men's ministry. I think it's enough to get going. I guess what I want to leave with you is, Matthew 4, verse 19, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I know you're fishers of fish. you know, the fishers of fish, how are they in any way related to fishers of men? They're not. But Jesus saw potential in them, and he said, I will help you. And when he left, he said, you're in charge of the whole thing. But I will send my spirit. Your spirit will help you too. I will not leave you. You won't be doing it alone. But you can do it. You can do it. Let me end with a prayer. Lord, someone watching here, doing this course, watching these lectures, you have called them. You put it on their heart. They're doing this course. They finished this course. Because there's something that you put on their heart. Lord, give them the courage. Give them the tenacity. Give them the will, the power, the energy to act, to start, to just move in the direction of men's ministry. I pray this in the name of Jesus. The one who died for us. The one who empowers us. The one who believes in us. In his name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining with me. Enjoy other courses here at CLI. There's so many, and it's so much fun to learn and to grow and to see what God has in mind for you. God bless.